So, then from, so did that, well, I'm sorry, now you had been single then for some time.
That's right.
Was that an adjustment to make for being married again?
What you mean when I got married? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. It was. It was nice. It made it a little nice. I was thinking about it. You still had to split shift when we got married. Mm-hmm. But in other words, he worked there. He'd go on Sunday afternoon. He didn't work Saturday night. That's a couple of days. A couple of evenings during the week, he worked swing. One night he worked graveyard, maybe two nights graveyard. I don't know how many nights were there. I think it was two graveyard, two swing, one on Sunday with a swing, something like that. So I don't think he worked any days at all. Mm-hmm. And somehow the way it was kind of easy. I saw him, even though he came home, because I'd wait for him. When he worked swing, he came home 12 or 1, something like that. I'd wait for him. And I'd go to bed early, you know, something, so I never felt that tired. And because when he worked graveyard, I didn't see him until the morning, so I wouldn't get in bed. But in a way, it wasn't that bad as far as the cooking part. And he was the kind, he didn't do the work, but he was the kind that would putter in the kitchen, help me in that respect. Yeah, he was trying to be helpful, not necessarily the housework, but. And because he didn't have to sit down exactly 6 o'clock to eat a meal, somehow I felt, looking back, especially now, that it wasn't that bad. I'd work every day during the day, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course I fed my son, but it's a little different feeding his son. And sometimes if I could, I'd sort of wait for him to maybe he'd have a bite or something. I didn't mind that. And we lived in the same apartment. When I married him, he moved into my apartment. So I was adjusted to the apartment. Mm-hmm. I was adjusted to the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that helped, I guess. Mm-hmm. That helped.
So his shifts were
split, they called it.
Did he work a full 8 hours together? They would rotate?
They would rotate. Well, I think when he graved it, they worked 7 and they get paid for 8, like now. But he worked 5 days a week. Sometime it would be 6, but they call it split because it's different shifts. Mm-hmm. It's not always. It's not day, it's not grave, it's not swing.
I see. So, did he stay with that same company throughout the time he worked, or did he?
Well, he left in 1959. He was already there over 10 years, maybe 14 years, because he worked a few years up in Oregon. But he always wanted to go into business himself, a lot of people do. And he was Well, sometimes you can be your own worst enemy. You know, he was. Everyone says that of their own. I think he had a very good mind mathematically. Anyway, he went to one reason why he and his wife split up. It's more than just that. But he was in the service. They got married when he was in the service, and they used to talk about when he got out, he'd go to college and she'd work. And when he got out, and he did go to college. He went to college up there, and he did well, about a year, and. It sounded like he didn't have any, I don't know what he was getting, I don't even know, but he didn't have any money, and they had a baby, and he had a hard time, so he had to go to work. And he didn't mind working, he said it still wasn't enough, because he couldn't get the studying in, it was hard on working, with the working, and she didn't help at all. And then he said, however, so he quit. He should stay with it probably, like he says, but he quit. And he said, I'll go back someday. And he said, I cannot. Now I have to work. And he kept on putting it off. When he was with me, he started to go. He took a course in accounting. And he just didn't want to go anymore. He kept on saying, too hard on me. He said, someday I'll go back. And I pushed him. I guess I didn't push him hard enough. I'm not going to take all the blame. And he took up a course in income tax. And he did very well in accounting. I even have some of his papers. But I guess he had, in that, if he had a problem, that it was his problem, why he couldn't go back. So he liked the pay he was getting at Tidewater Oil, and they were nice and all that. And he, like he, pardon my expression, but he, and he said that I know that they practically talked to me that if I wanted to kiss ass, that's the word to use, and that's what I would use too. He says, I just can't do that. Mm-hmm. And he never could do that. Mm-hmm. And he says, that I could be supervisor just like that. He says that they practice, this was Mr. Beer practically told me, if. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the if was. He told me, and I don't remember exactly what the if was he was supposed to do. Johnny said it sounded kind of dirty and like being against the company and stuff like that. So he just, we had some friends or acquaintances, and he looked up hauling house trailers. So we decided, because if you leave the Tidewater Oil, he would get a lump sum of money, profit sharing. So I wasn't that enthused about it, but I was for it if that's what he wanted to do and he'd feel better. I don't mean that I was a mod or fast farmer. I said, you know, how can I tell you to stay where you are when you're not 100% happy? I said, you know, I wouldn't mind if you stay there, but how can I say don't? Because he talked things over, and he said, well, this will, what if he lose? I said, so I was working. I said, so we'll lose. But he took some of the money, and he bought a 59 truck, a certain kind of truck, and we, I don't know how much he put down, and then he had to take it to have it equipped, special to have to haul trailers. And oh yeah, before then, he went to this place called Campbell Company, I guess, somewhere around Long Beach, you know, I don't know if it's still there, where they hired him. And pending his him getting a truck, and you pay your own expenses, and you deliver the trailer to a certain place, out of state a lot of times, and then you get a trailer there, you come back, and usually, just about all the time, that's where you make the money, back and forth. You just go one way, you know, and come back empty-handed, you're bound to lose out, maybe once in a while. Different sales he talks to always, oh no, he says, they're so busy, and even they don't guarantee on paper that they're going to give you a return trip, but there's no doubt that they're so busy that you're going to get a return trip. Well, so we finally got started, and he started hauling trailers, and you know, I think very, very few times he got a return a trailer to haul back. A mobile home, not trailers, mobile homes. Quite big, quite a lot to it. And he couldn't drive at night. One time he left, by the time he gets there, by the time they hook it up, and he got to Ventura Freeway is different now, but there was a time when around Sepulveda, before that, it used to be like a hill, Mulholland, and now it's all sending into freeway. But at that time there was he called me up, it must have been around, or I don't know, something. I just got home from work. And he says, you know, I'm stuck here, so I can't move. So the law was it started to get dusk, you can't move. So he says, come on over. So I drove there. I parked during the week, I parked the car behind the trailer, the mobile home, and I stayed there with him. And this morning I got up real, real early, and I left and went to work, go right to work. So there were a lot of restrictions. Oh, I'd always work. Mm-hmm. I always work. I was working those weeks then.
And you mentioned that you used to be in a house. In
1955, we bought a house.
That was the first time we had lived in a house that you
lived
in. Yeah. How did you feel
about it? Oh, it was nice. Brand new house. Yeah. Yeah.
So you knew his class
and everything? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He bought it under the DI.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So then,
he lost out on that. We stayed about a year, and we were paying our bills, was not getting us in. We got down to practically nothing, so he left.
Mm-hmm. So, you
moved from that apartment, and where we were living, mm-hmm. in 1955, in Winter Burner Park.
Mm-hmm. And then you stayed there a year?
No, we stayed there about, with the business, we stayed there about a year, 10 months, or something. We stayed in the Burner Park around 3 years. Mm-hmm. My son was in service, and Johnny was driving. He was still working for I'm getting ahead of my story. I told you about the Holland, but that I told you was 1959. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was working with Tidewater Oil and Union was from Bring It Pack, so that was a long haul. But he.
So, you
said
you lived in
Tidewater Oil, yeah.
And the
Tidewater Oil,
where did you
Well, we moved to Inglewood because he was working for Tidewater Oil and one of the distributors for Tidewater Oil, that was right in Inglewood. Mm-hmm. And we decided to, it was far, driving, and, my son was in service, and, you know, maybe he didn't do the right thing a lot, but we decided, in fact, he kind of decided that. He wasn't the kind of, this is what we wanted to do. He kind of talked me into it. I wasn't anxious about moving out, but, you know, maybe he's right, you know. It was dirty, the house was so empty, I missed my son so much, and it was so empty. So I didn't care that much. And I had to see him drive that far. Knew that, and he was nervous. We moved into an apartment, and we thought we don't know where, what we want, a house or an apartment. Do we want a house, period. But we didn't know, so we thought, well, we'll get an apartment, and we'll see. Maybe in a year we'll know. We'll be there 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's why we live in the apartment is when he went into a mobile home.
Are you excited that you
don't want
to
be... Oh, no. We lost everything that he got out from Tidewater Oil. He'd get checks, you know, and the gasoline, and he had to pay the gasoline bills, everything, the school and everything. He was reimbursed, of course. No, he wasn't reimbursed. What they paid him, I can't remember how they figured it out. You know, took into consideration his expenses, but we were paying that more than we got in. In fact, we even had truck payments. And even after he left, it took a few months before we sold that truck. And so we're the kind that don't wait till you're just broke when you have to borrow money. We got out in time.
Mm-hmm.
We just really headed for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was working, and he got out on anything we did owe a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we lost him that, but... And so he got a job working, he was in 40, was he 41? I don't know, I can't remember, I figured out. So he went, for some reason, I don't remember how, why, he went to the automobile club at Southern California in the world. He got a job as a salesman. He went to training. He was a good salesman, and his background, even though he just drove a truck, and said Davis, and he passed, he had some kind of test of mathematics, and at his age too, he was quite pleased that they gave him that kind of job. I wasn't crazy about that. I took a thing to God, and so was he, and he was very high. The first week he was on the honor roll, and he was, it's a lot of pressure. You know, there's so many memberships, and you got paid according to that. Even now, you know, going day, night, of course, day, not late at night, not, I mean, early in the morning, but you come home, someone will call you, they'd like to have you come over, you go over. Well, I imagine everything that you were saying. It's a little tired, yeah, but we moved here in 63, we still work there, but we were both talking like, the pressure was hotter. He made a pretty good living, you know, it was hard at time. Pressure was very bad. He had a boss that they were crazy about, but the pressure, get the mentor, no matter how much, get the mentor. And get the feelings too, of course. I think my staff the other day, and she'd do a salary, but they did me wrong. But she always knew it. So we talked, and as far as I'm concerned, I got him cut out. He was pressing. Well, not by the way, but he got out.
So, you know, you have worked with a
Yeah, until about, I'd say maybe 56, and then I quit because the faculty was there, it was a smaller place, and you know, there was a lot of, something was happening to the company, the few people that owned it. I don't know what the heck would happen to it. But people were quitting, a few people were. And it was downtown, I was coming in, getting, I wouldn't know if it was a really good job, would I stay there, I don't know, maybe not. Going downtown, you know, I didn't drive, and came in to see you, maybe something like that. And so I quit, and I got a job working in Anaheim, Coach and Seek. I made, my job was part of the coach, since I was at the back, Chief Work. I had a general union there, we had a general. And I might have stayed there, I met a lot of nice people there. Kept in touch with some of them. I didn't make that bad. They probably made next floor. I don't think they even treated me like they treated me, but anyway. Well, when you belong to the union, you know, you're supposed to, besides your salary, they're supposed to give you so much a week. I think it was 9 cents. And when I got into the union, when I was in title section, maybe 30 days, I was getting 4 cents. I wasn't the only one like that. And, I complained with this Lillian Gibbles. She was a little bit small, but wasn't a big deal. I guess she was a steward, and I complained to her, yeah, you really could get it. And whenever she'd do what they said I'd do, yeah, I was going to get it, but I never did get it. And then I heard they were, I heard the way they played, something always happened. And I heard that they were moving to Oxnard. They didn't know the way. And there were a couple of meetings in the union. I think the union was, as far as I'm concerned, just, Well, I am perfect and saying, just never working me. And once they took the meeting, went to, and in a lot of meetings, I didn't go to them until they talked about they were closing up. And so they wanted everybody to go, and one meeting, they took some, they gave us a check. They union gave us a check, and they took it away. It was from the leaving towers of check among the RS. It's not big, not a big amount. Then we took the sign it over to the union, which we did, dumbass. I think most of us that I knew did it, and it was considered an assessment. So I said, you can say it, I'm fine. And anyway, then I complained to the union man there, and he said, oh, there's just a difference between four, something like that. I never did get it. The people, this man and his wife moved to close up the factory, they moved to Oxnard, they kind of want to get away from maybe taxes or something. But that corner where that place was located in Anaheim, that was, I think the San Diego, it's different now. I mean, he was there since maybe he was, I guess, anything like that. So then I decided to get another job, of course. I had no job left. So I got a job working for Kathleen the Singer, which is in Fulton, that's a little closer to home. I stopped driving then. I had no time. And that's about the time actually when my son, the one was this car into the service, and I was driving his car to Fulton. And I worked there until I moved to Inglewood. And I could have stayed in Catalina quickly because, you know, how could I get to Fulton from Inglewood? You know, so one reason I was moving was because I was driving so much. And after I moved there to the Inglewood, I found out that my forelady and her daughter-in-law who lived together, they just lived a few blocks from where I did. And, I did quit, but for about a week or so, they asked me if I wanted to try riding with them from Inglewood to Fulton. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, I don't think I like it. But I didn't. I didn't drive it. I just hated that. I didn't mind that getting. I just hated that long haul before you get to work on half the street. So I said, no, I'm kidding. So I left there. I had to get another job, and I lived in Inglewood, so I got a job having some media tech on it. And, I hated it. Oh, it was terrible. I don't, it was something that I can't remember, something to do with glasses, and still complicated. I'm still learning, but there's so much to this, and I can't stand it. What like this trip? And the third day, let me tell you how things work out. The third day, I went to work feeling okay, and in the morning, the teacher and I stood down, and I felt like I was sitting on needles, and I knew kind of, I just knew that something's wrong. And the third day, the third morning, in fact, and I kind of didn't know what to do, and I got up into the restroom, and all I knew was I felt the soft pain there, and I went back. I just couldn't sit. I couldn't have a stand, so I said, I have to leave. And I went to the day, and I went home, and I called John. I didn't know if I had no doctor, nothing. So he, one of the guys that he worked with, recommended the doctor, and they said, the very same day, the afternoon, we went to our doctor's and we had him the next day, the day after, having him in the operation. So I had to stay home for a while, 2 months. And I imagine I called him and said he wasn't coming back. But I knew I wouldn't want to go back there anyhow. And then when I went back, I looked up Rosemary Reed, and I went to look for Rosemary Reed. Until they moved. He said, every job, they moved to the valley. And you could go from the argument like that. Then I got a job working in the town. And I got that job through working indirectly because in fact, even Johnny, some of the sales, from the Mardi Club, I don't know if I'm wrong, but they would spend like Monday, weekday, they'd come from the town in the cafeteria. And they would, anyone who has any article business, they would go there for a map or to be a member or anything to experience, they were there to help. And so it's still a possible. They just sat there, they didn't try to touch him. And then he also went to Macau, he did. He also went to Macau. He went to Macau, right? But he went to Macau, cafeteria, and he had a lot to do with that. See, it was very small than the cafeteria. Now it's, at least when I was big last time. And he was in contact with a lot of fashion workers. So even when everybody knew that Rosemary Reed was closing, and people from Mattel, I never met anyone, people from Mattel, so if you're interested in going to Rosemary Mattel, talk to them. But I wasn't, because John said, you don't work there in the factory. It isn't me, I go to the factory. It's not, it wasn't stolen, it was crafting or whatever. You didn't want that, and I didn't. So Mattel was the last thing I thought of working for, or coming to work for. But I was, Mattel already, I mean, Rosemary had already closed down. And I think we didn't take a trip. I think we went forward and we stayed a vacation about the time and tried it, Rosemary was going closed. So we must have gone 2 weeks or more. So we came back and I decided to look for a job. The funny thing was I probably went to a couple places. And last week I got a call from Carl, the family from the car, asked me to come in to have an interview about a job. And I came in to a clerk. I said, well, I did say something like that. I'm from the factory. I said, I don't care to work in the factory itself. This is not a factory job. This is in relation to selling. And I came in, they told me then, when I got there, that my ex-forelady, my last forelady in Rosemary Reed, she didn't want to go to the valley either, so she was applying for job. And for some reason, I don't know why, she went to Macau, applying for a forelady job. We were probably in fashion maybe. And the reason why she came about, because she didn't want to work at night. And I think now I know how it actually went, I think, because this woman, Lorena Adams, who still works for the church, a very good position. She used to work for Rosemary Reed. She got people take by. I know Sancho had experience with the church, Rosemary Reed did me. So anyhow, It's true, so this Edna, when she was, even though she's seen that job down, she was in contact with this Luana, then, or in Luana time. Luana said that they, that Reagan, that Mattel was looking for research and design. The designers and the pattern makers are signing up there. They have a few, they're looking for finishing offers that Edna recommends them. And she recommended me, and probably others, I don't mean that I was the best, but a good offer, obviously, was the name that she gave. So Mattel had my name and started calling me up. It was strange, though. In my life, sometimes I look back, it was strange, though, how you get jobs, or you know, 10 years, 9 years, 11 months, I was really young. Well, yeah, they signed me up for $75 a week. Well, yes,